Yeah.
All right, Brother Joe.
We did a dyslexic Bible study. We did chapter 3 last week, so we're going to go backwards in week 2. So, that's just, I had a work emergency I had to see about. And I called to Joe, but he was scared, so. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for letting me have a place to come, oh Heavenly Father.
Amen.
To hear your word, to share your word. Thank you for the fellowship to put in them, all of these men together. As your spirit come and fill this room, as your spirit guide me and let work through me and not use my words, but your words, Heavenly Father. And I ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So we're starting early today because I have a wife that's down with a back, been down with a back and walking with a walker for 2 weeks. And we couldn't get into a doctor. Then someone made a phone call and they moved the doctor's appointment to 8:20. I said, well, 8:20 will be good. Well, I got to be there at 7:50. Well, now we got a situation. So my mother-in-law's going to take her and I'm just going to, in about 5 to 8, and I'll head to the doctor's appointment. So we in John 2, which T. Joe taught half of it. But that's all right. That's all right. You did it. T. Joe, your message was good. You did it. You did
it. It was so good that all he had to do was teach half of it. He didn't have to do the whole thing.
So that, yeah, when I talked to him, I said, dude, in John 3, you just need the first 10 verses and you can park right there. And that's pretty much what he did. But it's true what he was saying about our belief system. And we were just talking back there with Joey and Greg, and it's our belief system, not just about what's biblical, but what about what's actually going on in the world. Our whole belief system is trying to be turned upside down, and what we believe in and what you were taught, we having to retrain our brains right now because there's so much going on. I mean, it's like drinking water out of a fire hydrant right now. So I'm going to start on John 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to do, to you, do it. Now there set there six water pots of stone, according to the manner of the purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and then the guests have well drunk. Then the inferior, you have kept the good wine till now. And this is the beginning of the signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory as the disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum. He, his mother, his brothers, his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Okay, there's a lot going on in there. I mean, we all hear about we know about the water, we know about the wine, but we need to look at what actually transpired right there. First of all, John, we're saying this, so this is in Jesus' seventh day of his ministry. So he had went to the desert. John doesn't mention that as the other gospels. And he's actually in his seventh day of his ministry. So he's out from the desert. And I know that because I have to call Pastor Scott to verify. The other gospels say that Jesus went in the desert. He says he went on the third day. He was in a wedding. So he never mentions that Jesus went. John never mentions that Jesus went in the desert. The other three, they call synoptic gospels because they teach, they write about the same thing, just in different versions. So it is important to realize that this is the seventh day. Go back to Genesis, first chapter, 6 days. Chapter 2 starts off with the seventh day. Chapter 2 of John starts off with the seventh day. Correlation. New Testament are always correlated with the Old Testament. They intertwine with each other. It's just, look, I'm not that smart to figure that out. That's research. And it's just the way it works out. So they ran out of wine. Now that's important because in those days it was customary that if you had a guest at your house and if you ran out of food or wine, you actually had to compensate them for their troubles. So this is big. The host would have been publicly ridiculed, would have to pay all kind of money, would have to compensate all these people for being inconvenienced because they didn't get drunk. Now imagine that. Yeah. Suing the keg because you didn't get drunk. I'm just saying. You know, so but it's like a whirlwind, and she says they have no wine, and Jesus says, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour is not yet come." So we have to look at Mary right here. Okay? Mary sinned at that point. She is hoping Jesus, she must have had a relationship with these people for her to do that. Because Jesus is not, because all the works that Jesus did, he always glorified God after. And this one, nobody's going to know what he does except the servants. Jesus is on his own right here. Mary's desires, she was treating Jesus like a little genie bottle and hoping something happened. She's wrote, and how many times, look, guilty. Guilty. You know, God's not a wishing well. And here she is saying it, and Jesus rebukes her when he says, "My time is not yet come with, come." I don't know about y'all, but if I'd have told my mom, my woman, that concerned about me, my teeth would still be in Karen Crow. But that was normal language and customary for that day. That was normal for him to talk to his mother like that. You know, but my hour has not yet come was a rebuke to tell her, "I'm not going to do this." She dismisses Jesus altogether and tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Now, she knew Jesus' divinity. She knew his power. She knew his authority. She's the only one that knew who Jesus was. The disciples, he only has five of them at that time. They flying by the seat of their pants. Right. They have no clue. None. Zero. So he fills the water pots with water. It takes him out and brings him to the master of the feast. And it's just like, so this is a representation of, and this is just my opinion, that the better wine that Jesus did was better than the other wine. How many of us are better because Jesus got in our lives? How much has Jesus poured into us and our lives are better? I know mine is. Drastically, 110-fold. And I know Eric's is for sure because I've seen it play out. You know, if you knew somebody before and you know them now, mm-hmm. and you see the difference, it's not because of them. It's because they made a lifestyle change. You know, I could have kept going down the path I was going. Ended up in prison. My next step was death. You know, if you'd have told me 30 years ago I'd be up here teaching Bible study, I'd been like, "You out your damn mind." You know, to see what God has done in my life, it's always, there's no explanation for it, because I know I couldn't do this on my own.
Amen. Amen.
So then he goes down. This is just the beginnings of signs. Then he goes down to Capernaum. Now, they say that he moved from Nazareth to Capernaum, and he has his brothers and all his family with him because they're moving with him. Because most of his ministry is done in the area of Capernaum. And they say he goes down to Capernaum. From Cana, Capernaum's northeast. But what they're talking about is the elevation. So they walk downhill to go to Capernaum. So now they go down to Capernaum. Just a little side note. That really wasn't important. But it's just that we need to pay attention. You know, how much has Jesus poured into you? You know, like T. Joe said, a lot of us need to change our belief system. Because without you, look, if none of y'all have done any healing, that'll get your belief system a changing. You know, It's where, it's just, it is what it is, you know? Because we were taught what they were, what our parents were taught, what their parents were taught by them. So it rolls downhill. But I'm trying to change that belief system and put that belief system in. I don't want my kids to be able to think for themselves. Don't believe what I believe. Because my belief probably wrong anyway. But y'all need to research and study Jesus, get into the Word, which is the only way you can find. And that's how you come to your belief system. The Holy Spirit will talk to you. You just got to be patient. And Jesus cleanses the temple. Now, this is the only gospel that talks about the first time he cleanses the temple. The other gospels talk about the second time at the end. But Jesus went to the temple for 3 years in his ministry. Did he do all this every year? Like this was a repeat before, like the Super Bowl, it was a turning of the tables at a temple. You know, it happened every year, so we don't know that, but this is the first time. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." That's in Leviticus, by the way. So the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign do you show to us since you do these things?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you'll raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast. Many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men, and he had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in a man. So we look. Jesus goes into the temple, and the money changes, like when you go to a foreign country, you change your money. Same thing. Jews had to go Roman coins because Roman coins were unclean or whatever purpose. And then for the animals, they wouldn't bring their own animals because even though if you brought your own animal and it was spotless, the Pharisees had to inspect your animal. Yeah. Well, guess what?
He's starting.
He ain't spotless. So now you got to buy an animal. And the animal you just sold, he sells to the person behind you. And that's how it works. So it was a money thing. It was always a money. Now they're in it's called
it's called the mafia.
We were just talking about that. So they're in the yard of the Gentiles, which is close as the Gentiles could get to going inside the temple because God couldn't be around the Gentiles because they were dirty. That's us. But Jesus is in the temple. Now God's in the temple. He's there in the flesh. And people don't recognize it. And Jesus makes his own whip.
Yes.
He could have got some for somebody. And I was reading some stuff where he sat down and calmly made his whip. Unrecognized, unnoticeable. You know? Then he traced everybody out, except for the people with the doves. He said, he didn't chase the people with the doves. He said, "Take these things and go away. Do not be my Father's house a house of merchandise." What found the olive branch in Noah? The dove. The dove usually represents the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in full glory right there in that moment. So it's a little... It's amazing what happens. And what sign do you show? And Jesus, that's when Jesus says, "Destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days." And they're like, "Yeah, okay, 46 years, 3 days. Yeah, we got you." You know, they're sitting Nathaniel in a rebuilding the wall. But we, he, they didn't, how, so, always had a hard time with this. His disciples are with him at this point. So imagine, you have 12 friends, and y'all do everything together. And you die. We didn't know that. You were with this man for 3 years. His disciples really didn't believe he was the Messiah till he rose.
Yeah.
Peter had said, when Jesus asked him, "Who do you say I am?" And he says, "I said you are the Christ. The Holy Spirit is behind. The Holy Spirit is the Father has shown you this." But then he rebukes Peter later, said, "Satan, get behind me." So it's a to truly grasp who Jesus. I always wondered what it was like if he just hugged you. You know, if you could feel him. What the disciples must have felt. Oh, give me the free song.
Major healing, I'm sure.
Yeah. I wouldn't have to be going to the doctor today. I'm just going to put that out there. But that's wrong with me because we all have the power in us. You know, when we pray, God, heal us. We throw up a bunch of petitions and call it a prayer. That's not a prayer. That's a wish list. You know, spend time with God. Get in your Bible. You know, I was listening to a thing this week on authority that I just said that about my wife, but I have the authority to heal her because that authority is in me. God gave us authority when he created man in Genesis. I give you dominion. We have that authority, but we don't live in that authority. We're waiting for God to move, and we should be moving ourselves.
Did you try?
You know?
Did you try?
Absolutely, we prayed over. We need to stand on that authority that God's given us. And we don't. We cower from it. Oh, what are they going to say? Oh, we don't want confrontation. No. Well, y'all might not want confrontation, but we don't stand on our authority that we have. You know, if we just believe, you know, that's why Jesus says the faith of a mustard seed. You know? And I forgot who it was that Spiritual Newell said, it's not the quantity of faith you have, it's the quality. You know, we're going to need to have strong faith. We need to stand on our ground. It's a dark world out there, in case y'all haven't noticed. You know? And it's actually a scary time. It's a great time to be alive, but it's scary. Because of all the things that are, all the evil that's in this world is dark. But, and so, I mean, without being where I am today, I'd be all up in the mix. Like we were talking about going down the rabbit hole, I'd be in that hole with a shotgun. It's just a scary time.
Yeah.
We all need, like Iris said, you need Jesus. So then it says, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name, and when they saw the signs which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in a man. What does Jesus say when he knows what's in you? Right here, he's telling you, man's evil. You know, and hadn't said this Saturday morning, hadn't said something last Tuesday. You know, he's talking about temptation. He said, the devil doesn't need to tempt you. He said, if you look at Adam and Eve, he got Eve with conversation. Then he got her with temptation. Who are you talking to? Who are you surrounding yourself with? What are you doing to increase your walk in God? To increase your walk in Jesus? You know, and people right here are believing because they've seen. You know, it's what we walk by faith, not by sight. Well, I've seen what Jesus has done for me. You know, but am I truly, look, Craig's a man of faith. You want to have somebody have faith? Go sit down with Craig. He ain't got much else to offer, but he can give you faith. That's for the heck of Saturday, by the way. what's our faith in? His disciples walked with him. These people are only believing because they've seen. It's what, and a lot of times it's about an exchange. Just like when you meet somebody, I meet Dexter. What can you? He can do something for me. and I can do something for him. So we become friends because there's an exchange happening. I need to see Dex as a person. You know? And when you start doing that, seeing people as people, it's a game changer.
Yep.
It changes.
Amen.
Yep. You get the exchange out of the way, and a lot of us go to Jesus because we want him to do something for us.
Yeah. The bread, the fish.
We want him to move, heal something, finances, addictions, whatever it is. You know, when we actually have the authority and the power to do it. To stand is, I rebuke this addiction. I rebuke, I'm in financial trouble. I rebuke, I'm injured. I rebuke, I'm sick. You know? Look, I prayed over my wife 2 or 3 days already. Then my little sister came visit and she prayed over, we all prayed over again. You know? I mean, she's in a walker, she's in a bond. But but we have to stand on whatever we're saying is true. And we can't get, you know, we have to believe in the Word of God. If you're in the Word of God and you believe in the Word of God, you know, how many of us leave this room, we go to all these Bible studies and we don't apply what we hear. I know several of them though. I go to 4 Bible studies a week. And I see a lot of men come in here, they all get the feel-good message, they go outside and they start cursing or do whatever they want to do or talking about somebody, gossiping. You know, didn't you just hear about that? You know, what does the Bible say? It's actually a shame, you know? It's sad. You know, you're doing this so people can see you just to check a box, but God's watching you.
Yeah.
What you do in private will be brought to the public. You know, and look, I sit with men, I get mentored, like Jeremy always says, get a man, and that's where the true growth happens. But you have to be able to bear your soul. And look, was it easy? Now it's easy. But at first, I didn't want to tell another man my problems because it's an image thing, it's pride. You know, once you get that out of the way, I will vomit right now if I'm going through something. You can ask Craig. His phone ring every once in a while. You know? But it's good to have people like that in your life. I don't show up on church Sunday. Hey, where you at? I don't show up on... I got to let people know that I ain't coming to Bible study. I have something going on. Okay, because if I don't show up, they call me. Hey, where you at? Or they send me the googly eyes through a text message. You know? But it's good to have people like that in your life to hold you accountable.
Amen.
We go through life. I mean, I went through life 20-some years with no accountability. That didn't end well for me. Just go put that out there. And I know several of y'all stories in here that without any accountability got us all in this room because we needed accountability to change our life, life-changing events. You know, and that's what Jesus was offering. It's a life-changing event. He offered it then. He's offering it now, and here we are 2,000-something years later. It's life-changing. A Jesus moment, that's all it is a moment. But a Jesus experience, it's life-changing. And we need to recognize and stand up, you know, for our faith. And because he's not here to defend himself anymore. It's up to us to be men and to stand up and to fight for our faith and to fight for Jesus. You know, Peter was the only one gangster. He pulled a sword out. He cut that dude's ear off. And Jesus rebuked, give me a sword, dude. Come on. Pump your brakes, big boy. You know? But if he can do something with Peter, he can definitely do something with all of us. Because we weren't that extreme. You know? We have become a new creation. It's just something to think about. I was pondering with... T. Joe had said about our belief system, and he was so on point with that. I was talking about back there that I told Mendoza about 6-7 months ago, I've never been in touch with my spirit as I am now.
In touch.
You know, I can actually, it had been a long time, but to feel the presence and to see the world through God's eyes and the spirit's eyes. Because what I see out there, I don't like. You know, but once again, it's seeing a person as a person. what's going on is God. This is all God's plan. No, we not, God ain't throwing for a loop right here, just for the record. Love Trump, hate Trump. Love Biden, hate Biden. It don't matter. This is all God's will. Who's your faith in? A president or God? Who are you going to believe? Who's your savior? Comes down to that. Nobody's coming to save us except for Jesus. Nobody. So it's find a man to help you walk with. It's that easy. You know, it's all. It's that easy. It's really not that easy. But it comes a point in time in our life where we just got to get tired of being sick and tired. You know, and look, let me tell y'all this. It feels good to feel good. Because if I look at the world right now, what's going on? I mean, they got stuff happening. I could be so mad. But you know, this is God's will. Let's see where this leads. You know, can I change it? I can't change the world, but I could change my local surroundings. And that's where it starts. Jesus is one man. His word is over 8 billion people now have heard about Jesus. I could change my world, which will change other people's world, my circle of influence. You know, it's just we need to be on point and look at that and not be scared to stand in our faith. Because if you stand in your faith, you're definitely going against the grain. You know, they don't want to hear about Jesus. So, I want to hear about Jesus, though. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for these men in this room. Ask that your spirit go before us today, dear Heavenly Father. Guard us, guide us, and keep us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Good word, brother.